For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How's Jacoby Brissett yesterday at his press conference? You were there, right?
No.
I thought you were there yesterday.
I was, but the press conference was at 3:30. I was on the air with you.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Right, that was Mayo who spoke earlier in the day.
I was
Brissett
there for that.
Talk until much later. That's right. We were on the air while it was happening.
That was also Jacoby Brissett telling you, I know I haven't thrown a ton of interceptions, but I really should have. They actually batted a bunch of them down instead of catching them.
Which, hey.
Appreciate his honesty.
Whatever it takes. There was actually a follow-up on that because the reporters were like, what?
They were confused, yes.
Listen, you followed up on it.
Knocked out some bad decisions.
Do I knock the ball down for them?
No. I guess I thought you meant like older players.
No, I'm saying like I throw a stupid pass and somebody breaks it up for me. Like it's not an interception anymore. So I think that definitely helped me out a couple times in my career.
I just had this visual of Jacoby Brissett on the practice field, like Drake May drops back and he's about to pass, and Jacoby just swats the ball out of his hand, like, that was going to be a dumb decision, so I knocked it down for you.
Like Terry Tate, the office linebacker?
That's exactly what I was envisioning.
That's a long-distance call, Doug! basically the same thing there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We played that clip because all of the preseason of all the various outlets' preseason quarterback power rankings are out, and many of them have Jacoby Brissett down near the bottom, but not all of them, and we'll tell you which ones don't in just a second, but first let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Shane is in Plymouth. He's got a problem with Andy Hart. What's up, Shane?
Yeah, Christian, my man. What's up?
Congrats on the new show. Thank you, my friend.
Andy, this Garrett Wilson take you keep hyping all on the radio here. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So what's attractive to him? His skill, or that he's going to come at some sort of cheaper cost because he shoots his way out of town? Is that what your scenario is?
No, his skill. I think he's one of the best young receivers in football, arguably one of the five best young receivers in football.
Okay, but you want him here after he shoots his way out of town and destroys the team?
I would have taken A.J. Brown when he shot his way out of Tennessee, and Stephon Diggs when he shot his way out of Minnesota, and you wanted
Brandon Ayuk when he shot his way out of Oakland.
Yes, these elite Davante Adams when he shot his way out of Green Bay. Absolutely. Absolutely, Shane.
And how's Davante Adams working out there?
Oh, so we're going to pick that one. How's A.J. Brown working out? We can play the one-for-one game.
How is A.J. Brown working out?
Awesome. He's the best receiver in football. He's the best receiver in football, arguably, and he went to the Super Bowl.
Name one that's worked out.
What do you mean, name one that's worked out?
A.J. Brown worked out, Shane.
Did Tyreek Hill not
work out?
Did Stephon Diggs not work out?
He's a major problem on that team, and they didn't even make the playoffs last year, did they? Or?
The Eagles definitely made
it. Yeah, they made the playoffs. They faded down the stretch because their coach and their quarterback hate each other.
Yes.
Why is that on A.J. Brown?
Is
this one of those idiots who says Randy Moss wasn't good in New England because he didn't win a Super Bowl?
I didn't hear him say that. I don't know.
But the implication there was none of those guys won Super Bowl. Tyreek Hill didn't win the Super Bowl. So does that mean he was a failure for Miami that traded for him and paid him?
I don't think Miami would see it that way.
I don't think so. You think the Eagles see A.J. Brown as a failure?
Absolutely not.
No. Because didn't they just extend his contract for a second time?
I believe they did, yes.
Okay. So Davante Adams was a poop show, and mostly because we happened to see via the receiver documentary that he was mic'd up. He said some of the dumbest things that a leader can ever say.
I haven't watched that. What did he say?
The clips when he was like,
receiver. No,
I'm going to get
it.
Killed. I get to get the F out of this place before it takes my life. Mm-hmm. I've never been hit like this in my life. This place sucks. Like, he couldn't talk to the quarterbacks. Like, it was miserable for him.
He's putting up numbers there. I mean, it's not like he's having a terrible time. Yeah. Like, the team's not good.
No,
but
he hated Josh. He hated the Josh experience. He hated the Garoppolo experience. He hated everything about his time.
I mean, that's all relatable.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I don't think that paints him in such a bad light, honestly.
But
most people don't like those guys.
Are we saying these receivers that switch teams and help strengthen young quarterbacks haven't worked. Like, I feel like it worked for Tua. It worked for Hurts. It worked for Josh Allen, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong here.
No. You're absolutely right, and that's because why I was begging for the Patriots to do this.
And if we're just using the ring thing, so Debo and Ayuk suck in San Francisco, right? Because they haven't won the ring yet.
Sure.
There is a generation of Patriots fans that is so stupidly spoiled by the winning of rings here in New England that they don't realize that going to AFC title games is successful. Going to Super Bowls is successful. Like, Bengals were dumb to draft Ja'Marr Chase because they've never won a Super Bowl with Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
They probably shouldn't pay him either. He's never won anything.
Never.
If they want to trade Chase and Burrow to New England, I'll do it in a heartbeat because they've never won anything. That mentality is so, so sideways for me. And I just don't get it. I blame it actually on one radio host in this town who may actually be speaking concurrently with us right now on the airwaves because he led the brigade
Howie
of
Carr?
Idiocy. Yeah, we'll go with Howie Carr.
Okay.
He led the brigade of idiocy that Randy Moss was a failure here because they didn't win the Super Bowl. Randy Moss caught a touchdown and they still mock Dean Pease for the defensive call that allowed them to lose the perfect season.
Yeah.
Because I heard it recently from Julian Edelman on his podcast. Randy Moss was unbelievably good, and people think it was 1 year. He had a dozen touchdowns three straight years.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that was a failure. Don't tell me that was Randy. Oh, he's a cancer. He's a bad guy. He's mercurial. You can't win. He's a clubhouse this. And by the way, when they thought he was going down that road, they shipped his ass out of town.
He was gone.
When he was bitching about another contract, and he was the Pied Piper, they called him, at Gillette, because he was leading young players down mm-hmm. a bad road.
And he wasn't producing at as high a level either.
But I want to be quite clear. If Garrett Wilson reaches a point where he is frustrated with the Jets and is looking for a new home, I am interested in bringing him to New England as part of the Andy Hart plan.
I 100% would be too. And there's a lot of other guys you could say that about. I think that he's, and that's why I think the NFL's in a good place right now. Because of Garrett Wilson and players like almost every single team, except for the Patriots, has a stud wide receiver. Yeah. Almost every single one of them. They're littered all throughout. Some have two. Some have three. I mean, like, it's a golden age for passing, for passing yards mm-hmm. and a passing offense. And that's in large part due to the fact that so many great receivers have been coming out of school for the last, I don't know, 5 years, really. You want to go back to the N'Keal Harry draft, that's when it really seemed to pick up, which is interesting because the first round wasn't really all that much. But after that, you got all these studs. You had a bunch of studs drafted this past year. We'll see what they look like in their various stops. But yeah, I think that this is something that, looking around the league and just seeing how many abundance of wide receivers out there, playmakers, guys that you can count on, maybe not Randy Moss level, but like
no,
guys that
Randy
can,
Moss is one of the
he's one of
three
one.
Best
yeah,
of
like,
all time
he's
or
right
something.
Up there. But like guy, you know, the AJ Browns and players yeah. like that. That's those guys are available.
I can tell you, Shane did not attend joint practices at Gillette Stadium against the Eagles because he would not have a negative thing to say about AJ Brown. Because anyone who saw the man with pads on, without pads, his physique, his domination of Christian Gonzalez and anybody who wore a Patriots uniform would be lusting after him, especially just real quick going back to your, I know you're big on Stratomatic projections. They also had projections of all the receivers mm-hmm. with May, with Brissett.
Yes.
And this tells you something about this team's targets. No matter what, the leading receiver had like 63, 61, 60, or 62 catches.
Mm-hmm.
Which, didn't CeeDee Lamb have like 138 last year?
Something like that, yeah.
You're not even half of a
it's
true
like a
elite
fifth
receiver.
Of like a Steph Diggs season. Yeah.
So like that's where it, and it's all 700 yards, 800. You're not getting numbers over 1,000 in. I also need to remind, it's a 17-game season now.
Yep.
If you lead a team with like 700 yards receiving in 17 games, that is not good.
No. No, it is not. Speaking of not good, the Patriots and Jacoby Brissett are considered by many national pundits to be not a great quarterback situation. In fact, CBS's QB power rankings, which I think are Pete Prisco does those, had Jacoby Brissett at the very bottom, number 32. The bottom five were Darnold, Bo Nix, Danny Dimes, Gardner Minshew, and Jacoby Brissett 32nd. The write-up said he's a trooper and a willing placeholder, but it's only inevitable that the more mobile Drake May, the Patriots' big investment under center, will eventually warrant the team's support. That's what most of these lists look like. That's really, I mean, if you click around ESPN and all the other quarterback lists, in general, Jacoby Brissett's down in the bottom three. Except on NFL.com. NFL.com's QB list, which I think was posted today by a guy named Nick Shook. which is a great name, by the way. Nick Shook, this was published yesterday, I should say. Yesterday, right around 2 o'clock. I happened to see it last night, early this morning, I should say. And Jacoby Brissett on this list is ranked 23rd, the 23rd best quarterback in the NFL, ahead of Russell Wilson, ahead of Deshaun Watson, ahead of Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Bryce Young, and Danny Dimes.
That's ridiculous.
That is a ridiculous, ridiculous.
I feel like it's a mistake.
I mean, it's almost like, what are you talking about?
Did you say 23?
23.
He's dyslexic. He meant to write 30.
They forgot to carry the one or something.
He meant to put 32, and he's dyslexic, and he accidentally wrote 23, and the boss was like, I don't know, whatever.
Here's the write-up. Brissett
transposed his numbers.
Brissett is back in the place where his NFL career began, and things look vastly different now. Brady, Belichick, and everyone else are gone, and the expectations for the Patriots are lower than they were in 2016, you think? But Brissett knows his role. He's there to lead New England on a few scoring drives each week and to keep the seat warm for Drake May. I don't expect Brissett to spend the whole season as the starter. In fact, his stint might not even last a full month. That's not his fault, but merely a product of the circumstances for a team in transition.
There's no doubt that is wrong. Like, that list, what he just wrote to describe his ranking...
makes sense, yeah.
At 32.
Right.
Absolutely makes sense at 32. I swear he typed it in wrong, and they just didn't fix it. Whoever edited it and posted it didn't have enough sense to call him and ask him if he really wanted this guy.
Caleb Williams at 28?
Well, at least he's a rookie, so there's some question.
Still, I mean...
I wouldn't have him that low, but that's fine. Hasn't the question been posed and answered by most that this is the only place Jacoby Brissett would start?
Yes.
I think Minnesota, he might have a puncher's chance against Sam Darnold.
Maybe against Darnold, maybe in Vegas with Minshew. I mean, there might be, but like Minshew had a good year last year with the Colts.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got a puncher's chance there. I think he'd have a puncher's chance at Darnold, and that's about it. And this guy's got him ahead of...
lots of people. Russell Wilson, I mean, he's got him ahead of Deshaun Watson.
He's kind of got him listed, because I've always believed... and any given year, there's right around 20-something starting quarterbacks in the end. True starting quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are just kind of guys like Brissett that are placeholders or going to be run out of town at the end of the season. He kind of has him on the cusp of legitimate starting NFL quarterback, but then in his write-up says he probably won't last the month. It makes no sense.
Yeah, probably not.
This is AI generated or something.
I will not disparage Nick Shook in that way. I don't know
you
that
think Nick Shook's a real person. That's
I don't
his
know
real
that,
name.
I don't know that he is. I don't know that he's not. I never met the man. The Ringer also had a list of QB rates. Very long because it's The Ringer and everything they write is about 500 million words. But Steven Ruiz over at The Ringer did their QB rankings, and they did them by like timing, accuracy, arm talent, pocket presence, decision making, creativity. There's a little pie chart in each one of their in each one of the things there. And this one, this list, has Jacoby Brissett at 25. How about that?
They've been drinking?
Maybe. Jacoby Brissett at 25, just behind Deshaun Watson and ahead of Will Levis. Russell Wilson again. Not a lot of people high on Russ.
Do
this
I
year.
Need to go look at Russell Wilson? Didn't Russell Wilson have a decent year last year?
He did. He absolutely did.
He bounced back with Sean Payton.
I think he got benched at one point for Stidham, but it was like a bad stretch. And I think
and it
yeah,
was contract
overall,
related because they didn't want to have an injury guarantee of like a gazillion dollars.
Right. But no, he had good numbers last year.
Russell Wilson completed 66% of his passes with 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions for a 98 passer rating.
With the Broncos.
With the Broncos. And also, let's just check, did he run it all? He also rushed for 3 touchdowns and averaged 4.5 yards a carry on 350 yards rushing. You're going to tell me Jacoby Brissett's better than Russell Wilson last year?
I would not say that.
And a couple years ago, Russell Wilson had a really bad year.
Yes.
The first year, but last year he had a bounce back year.
He did.
And if you're going to take the Mayo word, totality of his career, Russell Wilson blows Jacoby Brissett out of the water.
100%. I could see him being better than Will Levis. I could see Brissett being, you know, they're on the path with Will Levis. Like,
Levis
isn't that good.
Nice guns.
He does, and he does have talent around him. I mean,
he's got receivers
Hopkins
to throw
and Ridley
to.
And those guys, sure.
Remember that one game last year where he was just chucking it up to Hopkins?
Yes.
There was like 3 touchdowns, and he really was just doing Johnny football type stuff, throwing it up and hoping.
Yeah, basically. Brissett also ranked ahead of Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold, Bryce Young, Gardner Minshew, and Bo Nix, number 32, with the lowest grade out of all those guys. Let me put it
Captain
to you this way.
Captain Bo Nix.
That's
to
right.
You.
If Jacoby Brissett has a season that puts him in the top 25 quarterbacks, that will be way beyond any expectation I would have put on the guy to start.
Well,
way beyond. 25. I'm talking in the top 25.
No, I know, but I feel like...
I'm expecting him to be down in 29th at the highest, maybe. So maybe not way beyond, but like that's to me. 23rd?
Am I wrong in that with an 88 passer rating, 20 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 3,500 yards, that might be 25-ish? 20, you know.
Oh, the Stratomatic numbers.
Yeah, Stratomatic numbers. I'm giving them credence that I don't actually believe in, but I'm just... their numbers for the purposes of this discussion.
That absolutely could be. No question about it. And that takes us to our next topic here, which is an article I saw on ESPN about the backup quarterback and how 67 quarterbacks started games last season. Backup quarterbacks, not like a thing you don't take seriously anymore. They have to play. They always play. And they are now part of the QB strategy when teams are building their rosters. So this quarterback situation here is probably not one that's going to be permanent either direction. And we'll discuss that right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And the 2-2 is drilled high and deep into left center field. Duran back at the track, at the wall. Jaron leaps. He can't get it. It's off the wall. One run scores, and they're going to call it a homer. It's over the orange line. It's a grand slam for Jesse Winker, and the Mets lead it 4-0.
Well, that's how the game started as Tanner Houck gave up a grand slam to Jesse Winker. It didn't get much better as the Mets swept the series. They beat the Red Sox 8-3 last night in New York. Red Sox fall back to 500, have now lost 5 in a row. They're now 5.5 games behind in the wild card hunt, tied with the Tigers and Mariners. The Red Sox will have the night off tonight as they get ready to host the White Sox for a weekend series at Fenway Park. First game goes down tomorrow night, first pitch at 7:10, Nick Pivetta scheduled to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Davis Martin for Chicago. The Patriots had a practice today as they continue to get ready for their season opening game against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff at 1 p.m. from Paul Brown Stadium. After holding in, Bengals three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase was back on the practice field with the team yesterday. And the NFL season officially kicks off tonight as the Baltimore Ravens will be in Kansas City to take on the defending champions Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Chiefs looking to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. Kickoff will be at 8:20 from Arrowhead Stadium. Don't forget, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:20, or download the Odyssey app and you can take us wherever you go. Trending brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tommy Kern is going to be joining us in a few minutes. He was on with Keefe and Jones. Jones and Keefe. Yesterday? Day before? 2 days ago.
Tuesday.
And we'll be speaking to him in about 5 minutes here as we get you ready for week one of the NFL season. Kicks off tonight. The Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs looking to three-peat. Patriots kick off on Sunday. And it sounds like Kern's a little more bullish on them competing than most people are. It's the biggest spread on the board. I don't know how much money's coming in on the Patriots. I'd imagine not a ton. But especially with this Ja'Marr Chase news, not news. He was at practice yesterday. Schefter told us yesterday that that may not necessarily mean they got a deal done. But now there's a lot of rumblings going that something may be announced today while we're on the air. And if it is, then we'll certainly let you know about it. I think that would definitely affect the lines, if not people's expectations of how the game's going to go. How do you think this game's going to go?
Not great. I don't think it's going to go great. I know he sort of disparagingly or dismissively said Trent Brown's their left tackle in Cincinnati. I think I'd rather have Trent Brown as my left tackle than I would.
Definitely would.
Vedarian Lowe, who's hurt and may not play. Chukwuemeka Okorafor, who hasn't looked good at left tackle and has never been a left tackle in the
NFL.
I thought
Orlando Brown was their left tackle and Trent Brown was the right tackle.
I believe that's what
it
is.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I think that's
either way, I would take their left tackle.
I definitely would take Orlando.
I'd take the Mims kid who's hurt.
Yeah.
The kid they drafted out of Georgia, that behemoth out of Georgia.
Oh, Amarius Mims?
Yeah, I would take him. He's a little banged up, but I would take him. They have three tackles that are better than you have any tackles right now. But no, I do think it seems trending toward Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. And if Ja'Marr Chase plays, remember the Christmas Eve game a couple years ago when T. Higgins squashed Jonathan Jones?
Yes.
Had like 130 yards, a touchdown, played big boy, little boy on him.
Tough matchup, yeah.
Tough matchup
for him.
So even if Chase didn't play, they have Higgins. They have Joe Burrow.
Yep.
And I know there's questions about him and the wrist and coming back. But
They don't have, what's it, the running back anymore.
Mixon's
they don't
gone.
Have Joe Mixon. I think Zach Moss is their new
him.
Guy, right? Yep.
And they got another
Gesicki
guy.
Gesicki is their tight end.
He's their backup.
Yep.
He's not their starter.
Chase Brown.
The
is
young
their backup
running back?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but again, their defense has been, is weird. Because I think they were last or second to last in the NFL in yards allowed last year.
Okay.
They weren't a good team, obviously. They had the weird start with Burrow hurt, and then they finished with Burrow hurt, and all they were up and down.
And
their
the Browning
defense,
kid was pretty good in the,
yeah,
in the interim. Yeah,
gave them a little boost, but their defense gave up a lot of yards. They gave up a lot of sacks offensively, had a lot of sacks defensively. So there's just a lot kind of that goes into this game. It's an interesting game.
The Bengals gave up 375 yards. Again, it was the worst in the league except for the Commanders, who gave up 389 per game. But when it came to points per game, they were middle of the pack,
right.
22, 23-ish, which is on the lower side, but still definitely not at the bottom like their yards.
Right. And this offense for New England, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect from the line. I don't know what to expect from the run game. We talked about it yesterday. Gerard Mayo is more bullish on the ground game and what they've done this summer than I am. Can they run the ball down the Bengals' throat? Can they just control, pull a BC game plan out of their butt and just rush for 260 yards, control the game on the ground, keep Joe Burrow on the sideline? I don't know. Or is there a chance that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins get on the field for the first time in a long time together, and you just go, oh, yeah, they're still really talented. They're still pretty good. You got injuries in the paint. Jonathan Jones, our guy, is listed as a hamstring injury. That's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Jones, there's questions in the back end. Is Gonzalez ready to just match up with Higgins and or Chase? Nah, I don't feel great about it. So far, he hasn't matched up with anyone with a great result. So yeah, no, I don't think it's going to go well. I think the Bengals are going to score a decent. I would take the under. I actually am leaning toward the under, which I think is like 40 and a half.
I think that's right. Yeah, I'll look that up. But yeah,
because I think the Bengals could score like high 20s to 30, and you won't add much to the total, and you could still stay under.
Yeah, you probably could. The Bengals, I think, are a team that when you think back to the Belichick years. That's a team that in the week leading up to it, you hear Belichick rave and rant, and I love those guys. Those wide receivers are great. Joe Burrow's great. He'd gush about those type of guys.
And they are.
And he would game plan for those guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like one aspect of this season that people are sort of missing is that you don't have Bill Belichick game planning the defense for these offenses anymore. And that may end up being a much bigger loss than maybe we're expected. Well, Belichick's out, and they brought in this new coaching staff, and now it's going to be more offensive-minded and all this other stuff. Great, fine. We know this offense isn't very good. We're expecting the defense to pick up a lot of the slack. but the guy who diagrammed and programmed all those defenses over the years, and it's, you know, some of his underlings are still around, but the guy in charge of it all is not going to be doing that anymore. And I feel like this is exactly one of those type of games, where Belichick would have a plan for Chase, he'd have a plan for Higgins, he'd have a plan for Burrow, you know, he just, there would be things that they did all week long that were just all in the spirit of, okay, how do we slow down this defense? And you trusted it because it was Bill Belichick. I don't know if I trust these guys that same way.
Yeah, it's a point that has been very much underplayed all offseason. The head coach of your defense, Bill Belichick, who, whatever his role was, he was still the head coach who was a defensive specialist, and the play caller of your defense are gone.
Yeah.
And to just assume because two guys that were key figures in the defense are still here that you maintain the same level, I think is a optimistic presumption
at this
point.
For more on that and the Patriots season and the NFL season, which kicks off tonight, we are joined now by Tommy Kern, who is co-sponsored by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader for drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes, as well as FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. Mr. Kern, how are we doing today?
Tremendous, Christian. How are you? Hello, Drew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. It is week one, kicks off tonight. Everybody's excited about that. I want to ask you the same question I asked Andy Hart to open the show right now, Tommy, before we get to the Patriots. Do you think that the NFL, as a league, is in a good place right now in 2024?
Yeah, I do. I don't think there's really any headwinds to speak of. I think, you know, are we talking financially? Are we talking ratings-wise? It's still, you know, Godzilla among all the professional sports. So I think that, you know, you have your superstar in Patrick Mahomes. You have, you know, a high-flying team in the Niners. You have the Cowboys are always interesting, so you have the national pull for that. It's just, it's disorienting, I think, for us, being in New England and being, you know, in the dregs, to really look at it and say, oh hey, the NFL is awesome. But I think around the league, with the number of rookie quarterbacks coming in, infusing different franchises with different levels of enthusiasm, I think they are in a good spot. What was the conclusion with you two?
Oh, absolutely.
We both think it's in a great spot, too. And we meant it more in the sense of, like, players and, you know, teams and dynasties and sort of all that other stuff, or their good rivalries, young talent in the league. And I just think, yeah, we both agree. There may not be a direct competition for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes yet. They don't have a direct rival, maybe, like, you know, Brady Manning did 20 years ago. But in general, it's in a great spot right now. We both agreed.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at this division. You know, the Patriots aside, and they have at least a young quarterback that people are going to be intrigued by. But the rest of the division, there are aspirations among all three that they could at least get to the conference championship game and, you know, the Super Bowl. So, you know, just look at the AFC East, and there's compelling stories to each one.
So, Tom, I'm not going to hold you responsible for everything that's posted on NBC Sports Boston, but I was perusing the Stratomatic simulation, which I kind of really like, actually, because it puts numbers on something that, you know, we all have opinions on how the season might go. And, you know, there was the interesting part about Drake May and Jacoby Brissett kind of having similar numbers but very different records. We talked about that. The thing I wanted to ask you about is the production of the ground game in this simulation. Ramondre Stevenson only has 800 yards, basically, regardless of quarterback, only has 4 or 6 touchdowns. If this season ends and Ramondre Stevenson only has 800 yards rushing, isn't that a really, really bad thing?
Well, not if Antonio Gibson has 750 and another 6 touchdowns. I mean, it would be, yeah, no doubt. I think you are going to look at Ramondre Stevenson and the contract that they gave him, you know, demonstrates that they want him to be a 225-plus carry guy. There's no 300-carry guys, or shouldn't be, but, you know, he should be a guy who gets the ball well over 200, probably approaching 250 times if he stays healthy. But I think Antonio Gibson is a really interesting add for them. Kind of reminds me of a Burkhead role that they can carve out for him, because he is a very good pass catcher, but he can run between the tackles. And I'm interested to see how much use Jamichael Hasty gets. You know, for people who haven't had an opportunity to watch training camp or been apprised of, okay, who's exactly in the roster, you know the bigger names, but Jamichael Hasty is a small, quick pass catching back, change up back. So, you know, he had moments in the preseason, he had moments in training camp, and I'm going to wonder how they deploy him too, because they haven't had that. Not only have they not had a competitive slot like they had in past years. Well, the past 20 years, they haven't had that really the last couple, but they now have that with DeMario Douglas. They haven't really had a pass catching back either, like a legitimate water bug.
What do you consider the ceiling for Jacoby Brissett this year?
Ceiling would be, let's go on numbers alone. He's 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions, 24 and 12 maybe. Throws for about 3,500 yards. And completion percentage around 65. He's going to take a crap ton of sacks. So I would say count on 45 sacks if he plays the whole year. So that would be my ceiling for him.
The optimism from Gerard Mayo in yesterday's press conference regarding the summertime accomplishments of the rushing attack, do you think he truly believes it was good this summer and it is going to, be good going into the regular season? Or do you think he is trying to speak it into existence?
No, I think he believes it. I think that they do believe that they're onto something, for lack of a better phrase, with their running game and with the more, I guess, tweaked offensive approach. You know, as Mayo said when we were asking about the running game yesterday, Phil Perry and I, he kind of redirected it to say, look, there's zone runs, there's gap runs. There's really only five runs that you see on first and second down. Third down gets more exotic, but there's really only five runs. But this Patriots team has been a downhill gap running team because that's what their skill and offensive line personnel really dictated. They were downhill runners, Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, and that's what they excelled at. One reason I asked Mayo yesterday in this conversation about personnel is you want your center and your guards to be really quick when you're running this zone stuff because they need to get out and string people and seal them off as opposed to just moving forward and opening holes, which is a gap scheme. Can they do that effectively? I did see plays in the preseason against the Commanders, and they were their twos, but I saw Antonio Gibson in particular show some excellent vision, getting wide, putting his foot in the ground, and moving upfield. So I think he believes it. I think the Patriots are going to be far more competent, not good offensively, especially in the early going, but far more competent than people expect. And they can't be much worse than they were in the last one.
True, they can't. We're talking with Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, we heard from DeMarcus Covington today. He spoke at the podium. And while we were discussing this Bengals game coming up here, we were talking about the implementation of a defensive scheme against a very high-powered offense like the Bengals. And it got me wondering about what they're going to be, I don't want to say missing, but maybe losing out on now that Bill Belichick's not here doing that anymore and you got a rookie defensive coordinator who's going to be implementing these things. Where do you think the drop-off's going to be most noticeable? If it's at all,
probably with Steve Belichick. Bill was spread so thin in the last 2 years, especially, you know, with the offensive line. Once Adrian Clem was ill, Bill did more offensive line in 2022 when Matt Patricia was supposed to be helping Billy Yates with the offensive line. It became obvious that Matt Patricia had to spend all his time on play calling, so Bill was on the offensive line. So it was really Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo running the defense, you know, in conjunction with each other. The absence of Steve Belichick as a play caller is going to be interesting because Gerard's going to be, you know, spread thin in just the game management overseeing aspects of things. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of imprint DeMarcus Covington puts on things. It's all the same blueprint. It's just the tweaks that are put on it. And I just think the Patriots front and the speed of the linebackers, which used to be a glaring problem for them, is so much better now. You know, guys like Jennings, Tavai, maybe even Raekwon McMillan, who have the ability to really move and make plays in a way that they weren't a couple of years ago, could be a big part of this defense going forward. And I think the defense will be just as good as people think.
Let's end on a cheery note, sort of. I'm really excited.
That was cheery? You just said the defense is going to be
good.
Yeah,
I know, but like, I want even more cheery. I'm excited about this game tonight. I'm excited about tomorrow night's game. I'm excited about this season and Drake May. Like, I legitimately have some energy going into this season, both NFL-wise and Patriots-wise. Tom Curran, what's got you excited this football season, whether it's NFL-wide or in Patriot Nation?
I mean, it's a knee-jerk reaction, but I do think I think it's multi-layered. I mean, I'm really intrigued to see how Brady does. I'm really intrigued to see what Belichick offers. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, really interested in seeing how the Patriots approach this season. I want to see how Aaron Rodgers does. There is a storyline everywhere you turn. Now, there are some places where the familiarity's gone. Like, who's the coach off the top of your head in Tennessee? Who's the coach in Seattle? Do you know the names of people? So there is an indoctrination that has to happen, you know, league-wide, that we don't know the Vrabels and the Pete Carrolls, and there's a change over in different spots. But, you know, there's larger-than-life guys. You'll want to see how Jim Harbaugh does, for instance. How does Lamar Jackson follow up last year's season? Are they a better team? All that stuff to me. There's storylines all over the place. I think Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, and I wonder if that'll bear out in Pittsburgh. So I am as excited as you are, Drew.
Let's go.
Very good. All right, we'll leave it right there. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time today. Always good to talk with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, that's Tommy Curran there, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You want to react to what Tommy had to say there. You got anything you want to say about the upcoming NFL season? We're going very football-heavy today, as you can already tell. However,
it's opening day.
However, we do have to take a quick football break coming up here because the WEEI Morning Show, or the Greg Hill Show, as it's also called, broke a big, big story today. Courtney Cox, who sits right over there, dropping the bomb about the potential ownership sale and how it's been narrowed down to three buyers. If you missed it, we'll tell you who they are, and we'll discuss a very weird quote from Joe Mazzulla as well right after this. Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us today. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. We've been going very heavy on the NFL and the Patriots today. The only reason we'd ever break up our football talk today is if there was some big breaking news here on the station, and there was today. Scoop Cox, Courtney Cox, in the morning show.
Excuse me?
Scoop Cox. That's what you call it. It's a nickname. It's a very common nickname for people who get Scoops Keefe, Scoops Cox.
So is this a Cox bomb?
Yes, this is a Cox bomb. 100% okay. It is. Courtney Cox. And she didn't give her source, oddly enough. I'm surprised. You know, usually reporters, good reporters anyway, be like, hey, I heard this from a source, and they tell you who the source is.
Well, but she actually did a good job covering her source. She said, I was with this person, and he or she wouldn't even narrow it down.
Couldn't. No way to
Smart.
Know.
Smart. She'll go to prison for her source.
Listen to Courtney like Scoops Cox this morning giving you the lowdown on the Celtics sale.
But this is Celtic Scoop.
Celtic Scoop. I was chatting with somebody that I am close with and trust.
Okay.
A lot.
Implicitly.
Implicitly, yes. And he.
Ooh. He never revealed.
I thought it was Mango.
Or she.
Or she. Okay. Long pause.
Yeah, they cut me off.
Yeah.
Was telling me about the Celtics, their pitch deck for, you know, selling the team. Uh-huh. And there are three final groups.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this person, not from the area, who I was talking to.
Yeah.
So, Expedition, Jeff Bezos is one.
Okay.
Okay.
Bezos is still in.
Yep, still in.
Bezos!
Yes.
Okay. Bezos is still in.
Wynn Encore.
Really?
Wow.
The number two.
Makes a lot. Oh, are these ordered? Or?
Oh, well, no, not ordered. Just
three final.
Yeah. I'm Wynn building Encore. Up to the last.
Can you pause it for a second, Stiz? Can these guys let her give the scoop, please? Jesus. It's like every two says Kirk Curtis. Well, what do you mean? Is it ranked in a row? Hillman's jumping in. Everybody's jumping in. Let her give the scoop.
They really
for God's
are.
God's sake.
They're acting like she's listing her three favorite appetizers.
No
not
kidding.
The future of basketball in Boston.
We got a bombshell here, and they're like, wait a minute. Hold on. I have to comment. Just let her give the
all
scoop. Come
her.
On.
All
not that
her.
I need to tell them how to do radio or anything. Obviously, they're doing very well. But just please, can we get to the scoop already?
Believe that that there won't be a Revs stadium in Everett, but there will eventually be, if Wynn Encore gets it, there will be a Celtics building over there.
Ooh.
Interesting to note in the Globe story over the weekend, though, they sold the land.
She's not done with the scoop yet.
So the Wynn doesn't, it's a similar but different situation to the Celtics with the relationship with the Bruins.
Right.
If Wynn buys the Celtics, they do not own the land that the casino rests on.
Okay.
They had to sell that during the pandemic.
Okay.
Now, I say that he or she is not from the area because they then say to me, and then the final is someone I don't know, Sam Kennedy, and I gasp. Mm-hmm. And so it says Sam Kennedy in group, which is, of course.
Sam Kennedy and group.
Which is Fenway Sports Group.
Sam Kennedy and group.
Or Sam Kennedy has a lot more money than I thought he did.
Yeah.
Been saving up those per diems.
I'm sure he does it very well. You know, obviously, he's got a very high-profile job with a Major League Baseball team, and he is part of Fenway Sports Group, so I'm sure he gets a nice kickback from that as well. But he doesn't own Fenway Sports Group. He's an employee at Fenway Sports Group, which is run by John Henry, who's the money guy, and him and Tom Warner are the billionaire, right? Like, I mean, they're the ones who would be funded, not Sam Kennedy.
Unless they want
him to be a figurehead a la Wick Grosbeck. It wasn't Wick Grosbeck's money. It was Irv Grosbeck's money. So maybe John Henry, in this case, is playing the Irv Grosbeck role, and they put Sam Kennedy out there, and he's the front-facing owner of the Boston Celtics. Now,
is over already.
It already is. Not that anyone expected that Kennedy had that kind of call. We're not even sure Pagliuca has that kind of money. So clearly we don't think that Sam Kennedy does. By the way, Pagliuca not on that list.
Nope.
Pags is someone who I thought would get maybe a little bit more of a shake on this. Maybe it's already out of his price range, and he couldn't get enough investors together to put in a competitive bid. But there you have it. Wynn Casinos, Jeff Bezos, and the Fenway Sports Group, according to Coco, the three finalists to buy the Celtics.
Gimme Bezos. Gimme Bezos.
I'll take
every
Bezos.
Time.
I'll take Bezos, too.
From the little I know about Amazon and him reinvesting to grow that company into the Goliath that it is now, and they have their fingers in so many different ventures. If he ran a baseball team that way, like, oh, we're just going to reinvest the money right back into the team. Isn't that what we're all asking for? Isn't that what we all want?
Absolutely.
Plus, he's got FU money.
Right. FU NBA money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mark Cuban has FU money. But Jeff Bezos has FU NBA, I'll do whatever I want money. Like, that's different than normal people FU money. You know, like, that's a whole different thing.
But that doesn't necessarily mean a good thing. Like, just because he has a bunch of money doesn't mean that he's going to make good
decisions. You're right about that. He might not.
The team.
But he also
Elon has FU money, and I don't like some of the decisions he makes.
I don't like many of the decisions.
Hater.
I'm just saying.
I mean, a heart's man is Elon Musk.
Should have kept it Twitter.
Yeah, maybe. That might have helped. Since no one calls it what he changed it
to.
It's been two years. No one calls it that. And he's still like, nah, this X thing's really going to catch on, you guys. No one even types in X when they go. People still type in Twitter when they go to the website. It's unbelievable. Maybe the worst launch and rebrand of all time. No one's accepted it. People just actively rejected it. I don't think that's necessarily a thing you got to worry about with Jeff Bezos, but I think the point that you're making, Andy, is that he's not going to fall into financial constraints and say, hey, you know what? This is really hurting my bottom line here, having to pay all these guys and pay into the tax apron and all that other stuff. That's not going to matter to him. He's not going to care. But that's just because he doesn't have to care. It's not going to be something like Irv Grosbeck probably didn't care about that much, that stuff that much either. But he looked at it as a business and thought, you know what? This thing's not really, you know, cranking the way I thought it was. And now's a good time to get out, and we'll give it to somebody who can take on all this stuff and take on all these additional fines and fees and taxes.
Especially
and all
now.
That thing. Bezos can do all that and not really have it affect him. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to run it that way. Who knows how he's going to run it, but he could run it that way.
And
I don't know that anybody else really could.
Do I have any reason to believe he's going to run it, you know, tight-stringed? I don't.
I have no idea what he's going to do.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But I think you just presume a lot of money. If he has a lot of money and he's buying the NBA champions, I feel like it's like a toy.
Hmm.
You know, that sort of classic rich guy. Huh, I already have the biggest yacht. I already have this.
Right.
I already have that.
Wouldn't it be cool to have the best team in the NBA, too? You know, like winning championships and everybody loving me and, you know, being up there holding the trophy on the duck boat. Like all that. Yeah, of course.
That's
what rich guys are into, of course.
Doesn't he own the papers? Washington Post? Like,
he owns Whole Foods.
Yeah.
He owns Amazon.
So
yeah,
there's
all
a lot
that
going on there. And he probably sees it as a way to make money. I don't think a lot of people lose money in professional sports these days.
I don't think
any
of them
do. Seems like the tide is rising
for
all of them at various rates.
That's why you don't see these teams come up for sale all that often.
Right, and he can buy the best one with the best young talent. Hell, I mean, it's very realistic to, I don't know how long it takes a transaction like this to go through, but he could be sitting on a frickin' duck boat next summer.
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely could. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get to your NFL-related phone calls. And there is an article about the NFL trade block, guys who might get traded early on in the season. And there's some names on there that are associated with the Patriots that you're going to want to hear. It's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!